Thank you, Abba, that you are here. And that every minute, with every breath we breathe, you are making our lives new. Most of the time, we're even unconscious of it. I love camp because it reminds me of that truth, that every instant I have the opportunity to choose to remember, to choose to remember. So we thank you, Father, that you are here. Thank you that you've brought us here. Thank you for speaking to Glenn Clark's request for prayer, "What can one man do?" He prayed that in 1920 at the end of World War I. And he listened for 10 years. He listened. What can one man do to change the awful stuff happening in the world? And he had this brilliant idea that was foreign at that time, to bring people together, you and me, to experience his kingdom building in our midst, to experience acknowledging trash cans to put our dumpy stuff in. Thank you, Rosemary, for that. That we don't have to wait and languish. We don't have to wait by the side of the road for someone else to pick up and recognize who we are as children of God. We can come and practice and remember. So thank you, Father, for that, all of that. I was reminded of this little story of my life recently. It's called Autobiography in 5 Chapters. Chapter 1, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am hopeless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. That is who I was in 1954. Chapter 2, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5, I walk down another street. So wherever you are in your life, whichever chapter seems most common to you right now, you're with people who are in the same chapter with you. You're with people who have called out and are in a different chapter, or people who are just discovering that chapter one is all there is. And so today and at this camp, it's a time to acknowledge the Christ in each one. The Christ that takes us in the sequence of chapters. Many of them we know and many of them we don't know. Many of them we don't recognize until we're out and look past. The latest sort of glitzy word in quantum physics right now is consciousness engineering. Quantum engineering. Glenn Clark knew about that 100 years ago and designed this camp so that we would get conscious and that we would accept our role as the engineer of our consciousness. And we're here to practice that, and I will be sharing what I'm learning about that, because there's a lot to learn about that. Yeah. So, starting at the beginning, thank you again, Rosemary. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. The earth was without form. There were no chairs. There were no microphones. There were no trees. There were no birds. There was no lake. It was void. Void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Much of the time in my life, I rush over phrases like that. And I don't take the time to absorb it or let it sink in. The same Spirit of God that was hovering over the face of the waters when there was nothing is here right now. In the very air that is pressing against your skin. Take time and feel it. Feel the presence of the living God as the pressure of the air on your skin. And maybe not on your arm, maybe on your head. Okay. Feel it. And then hold your hand like this. And feel the air, feel the presence of God between your thumb and your finger. The presence of the Creator of all that is, right there. Feel it? And move your finger and your thumb gently and feel that air. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. The biggest revelation to me in that whole phrase is the word let. Because most of us, myself surely included, maybe as captain of the brigade, I would have put make light. Let there be. Let there be joy. Let there be love. Let there be light. We're here to practice learning to let. That's the whole purpose of camp. Learn to let God be God. Learn to let His design for our lives come into expression. The picture I have for that right now is walking through the aisles of my local Walmart store. It's not really local, it's 30 miles away, but walking through Walmart, those art for adult books, I mean, they're in the children's section, they're in the book section, they're in the fabric section, they're in the craft section, and each one of them is different. An expression of someone's letting. letting art come form in a new way. And that's what we're here for. Letting us explore color and pen and pencil, or clay, or sand, or nothing, or just feeling the pressure and reminding ourselves if life is really hard, it's real. God, you're real. I can feel you right here. I can feel you right here. Another way to practice feeling it is to get conscious. Remember, we have a choice. To get conscious of the air we breathe. Because Glenn Clark was a coach as well as a professor, the presence of God motivating, moving our physical body was very, very important to him. And he wrote a lot about breathing and our breath. But take a deep breath and feel the air as it comes up toward your nose. It's the same presence. Feel the air. We sing, "Breathe on me, Spirit of God." And the truth is, there is no life without that air. That air is part of his kingdom. The truth is, we couldn't be conscious of that if we didn't have lungs. So he created both the air we breathe, the power to breathe it, the motivation to remember, the functioning of the lungs to make it possible, the functioning of our heart to draw in the blood to purify the air so that we aren't drinking in the garbage from the can that we just set out on the street. We're in an ongoing, minute-by-minute purification process, whether we know it or not. The reason is that we're made up of 52 to 55 trillion cells. Now, I don't know how to picture 55 trillion cells, but that's who we are. And every one of those cells is alive when it's filled with, motivated by, fueled by, energized by, empowered by, and the living energy of God, which says, let. Let there be light. If today is a day when you just ask God to remind you to remember that every day, your body will experience some healing. Now, Glenn Clark very wisely said long ago, somewhere in the late 30s, that he was coaching his football team, and They were of the same, they came in with the same consciousness that sometimes we walk in, which is the consciousness of, oh, I have to remember, I have to work hard, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to line up things, and I have to use power and force. And he reminded them. He taught them how to breathe in a rhythm that had a breathing in and a waiting, and a breathing out and a waiting. And his teaching was that it is in the waiting that your body has access for everything it needs to heal itself. Okay? But we go along. I watched this. We stopped at a grocery store up here yesterday. And being from a rural community that's very small, I don't experience what I experienced then. But Dana, would you get up? And Mike, would you get up? And you would you pretend you have one of those strollers in front of you, and you show them what I saw yesterday? Faster, 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 faster. I mean, this store had 300 people in it. We only have 900 in our whole town, so a traffic jam is when you see people in a car you can wave at. But yesterday, it was frantic, frantic. People just throwing stuff in their cars. And I was reminded I've been that way in my life. I lived in Los Angeles County. I know what that's like. But there's no time in that pattern of walking for your body to take care of its needs. And one of the brilliances of this program is that those rest periods are built in. We have quiet. We have space. We have honor, we have regard, we have patience, we have peace, we have joy. We have children to remind us what freedom looks like. We have children to remind us what freedom looks like when it's abused a little bit. We don't have to keep doing that ourselves. We can create and be part of becoming aware that praying for the kingdom of God to be established on earth is not 3 zillion years down in the future, it's right now. The kingdom's already here And as soon as we enter into it, we're in it right now. Right now. Pat, I love the way you encouraged us, maybe stronger than encourage, last night on that song of Joel's that had those really dramatic rest places. Would you mind playing a couple little bits of that? Pay attention to the rest. The rest. Yeah, rhythm is very important. Listen for the rest. It's okay, there's no panic. We have time. What number is it?
14.
Number 14, if you want to look. But listen, just hear it. Hear the rest. First part, one more time. Catch the rest. Take a breath in the rest. Thank you very much. Would you arise and take your traffic cart one more time? And head out that way and go as fast as you can, and then rest, stop and rest. All right, okay. He only killed three people en route. That's good. At one of the camps I attended many years ago, I was told, play the rest. Don't play the rest of the notes, play the rest. And so I would encourage us this day to just ponder what that might mean for us. It might mean something as simple as brushing your teeth and stop and say, thank you, Lord. It might mean rushing to get in line at the for lunch and just rest just a second with the consciousness that, thank you, body, I regard you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, I respect you. Thank you that you're here and that you're giving me the energy to do what I need to do. Let me be a child that honors your rest, Lord. Another way that just comes to me, it's an observation. With the advent of cell phones, primarily, and iPads and iPods and all of that, Microsoft has done a big study lately, and they have found out that the attention span of adults, measurable attention span, used to be 20 minutes, down from 40-something. It's now 8 minutes as a culture. So I've been practicing taking a rest from the dominating presence of my cell phone. I acknowledge to myself and anyone else in the house who's saying, don't you hear your phone? Don't you hear your phone? Yes, I do. They can leave a message. Okay? Part of it is because with advancing age, racing around the house to get to the phone if I don't have it with me isn't always safe anymore. Okay? So I'm safeguarding. I don't really want to end up in the hospital because I tripped over a scatter rug racing to my cell phone. So I just take a breath. Take a breath. And then I'm more relaxed when I pick up the phone and call the person back. Okay? It's simple. We have some semaphoring going on back in the back. Everything okay? All right, good. Thank you. And the Spirit of God was hovering. And the Spirit of God continues to hover. The Spirit of God is hovering over you right now. Can you feel the presence of the hovering of God? And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God sees you and me and we and they. God sees us here, and it is good. Exactly where you are, exactly with what you've thrown away today, and are free of, exactly what you were tempted to throw away or wanted to throw away but didn't know how or weren't ready to or didn't really believe it, throw it away. Less is more. In my life, I'm a visual kinesthetic organizer administrator who wants every duck in a row. And I have some classic stories of how God has dealt with me about that. One of them, when our children were in junior high or upper elementary, I also have the capacity for not remembering absolutes. I realized that I'd done my kids a disservice by wanting everything in perfect order. Now, how that looked was, we had three children under 3.5 years old, and we lived in an 800 square little house with one closet. And my husband was working on his master's degree, and I was the typist, and it was sort of hectic, okay? But my kids weren't done with playing unless all the blocks were stacked up in an alphabetical order, okay? And there was no exception to that. Well, so they grew up with that kind of bondage and that kind of imprisonment. And when they were in junior high, I was told, I don't always recognize what I'm told, but I was told that I had to go to my pantry and I had to take the labels, the packaging labels off of every can in the pantry. The reason was, I was spending my time, 1 month I had the cans sorted according to vegetables, fruits, topics. The next period I had them sorted according to color, and it was beautiful color. And I thought I was being creative. No, I was being stupid. Then the next time I had to sort them by size. So I had little ones and then bigger ones. Okay, so I was manipulating, controlling the stupid cans in my pantry. And so I was told I had to rip the labels off of all of them. And then I couldn't buy anything more. I had to cook using those cans. Well, the result was some very bizarre meals. The result was our kids found neighbors on the street to go visit at mealtime. But it broke something in me. It was a strong enough thing that it broke something in me, or melted it, or helped me get a new perspective of the choices I have in my life. I could have been playing the piano or working on learning more guitar, or I could have been an artist or out in the garden with our roses. I could have been playing badminton in the yard with our kids. That was a journey. I was a very good badminton player, and I would invite people over to play, or my kids, and I'd always put them at that end and I'm at this end. And the rule was, no exception, but behind the end of the court there was my strawberry patch and garden. And if they missed the birdie when I hit it, they had to stop and weed. Okay? I got my garden weeded, great, because I would hit the birdie where they couldn't get it. And so I was just... I was never sweating, and they were frequently. So you see, God is very creative, and he's just as creative with you, but there are levels at which it's better not to go that way, okay? I have friends to this day who won't come play badminton. They just will not. So it's... What I'm getting at is how we learn to remember what's important. What's important was we could have stopped and prayed for what was bothering one of them. Or we could have walked up and down the street and prayed for the kids in the street that needed help. A million things we could do with our energy. And I spent my time beating people at badminton in a way that demeaned them. I mean, it's like people beat down the street after a game. Because I had a lot of weeds. Okay? So today at camp, a day to remember. And the word remember has that little prefix, R-E, re, again, and then member. Remember. It means put together again. Put together, member again. Put together the wholeness that you are, that you've forgotten. Because wholeness is not something that this program is going to build for you. It's not something that the people in your prayer group are going to magically dump in your lap. Wholeness is going to be revealed as you let and remember. Because wholeness is God. Wholeness is presence. Wholeness is right now. And wholeness cannot be, because it's God stuff, it cannot be split or diminished. It can be hidden by the things we aren't willing to let go of. You hold your hand in front of you and pretend it's a mirror. Just pretend it's a mirror. You're looking. You are looking at the face of a whole child of God. And look through that mirror and look at anyone else in this room in your mind's eye. Just picture someone. I see you as a whole child of God. I'm grateful. Thank you. From the same page that I shared from last night in Windows of Heaven, which is a classic book from Glenn Clark. This excerpt comes from God's Reach again, my favorite. It's called Let God Do the Creating. We are on the verge of a great discovery. We in this camp, at the beginning of this camp, are on the verge of a great discovery. The discovery that great riches, lovely ideas, and masterpieces are already created in the mind of God. The masterpiece that God wants to create through you at Creatives, or in Devotion in Motion, or in rest time, or lunchtime, is already in the image of God. God is already created it. And all we're doing is picking up the forks and the knives and the spoons and eating it, swallowing it, remembering it, letting it, exploring it, challenging it, rejoicing in it, revealing it. You are a masterpiece because your 55 trillion cells functioning because of the presence of the God of the universe. Glenn Clark goes on to say, nothing so tires a creative person or a scholar so much as the feeling that he must do the creating and thinking himself. Vital currents of truth are constantly flowing as perfect, pure inspiration. But to receive them, we must be responsive first to the needs in the hearts of men, and then think of our minds and imaginations as the vortex through which God may draw a response to meet those needs. Think of yourself, you're a vortex. I am a vortex for the creativity of God. I'm a vortex for the creative power and healing power of God Almighty. I am a vortex for the thoughts from God's heart to his world. Work with ease and joy, and know that only God can give you true inspiration. This relieves you from all tensions of effort and frustration. You cannot fail. You cannot fail. The greatest genius of all has said, I do not do these works, but the Father in me doeth them. Does a miner claim to have created coal when he sinks his shaft into the earth to that point where God placed it 1 billion years ago? When Jesus went up into the mountain to pray, he left behind the limited carpenter consciousness and entered into permanent identity with God. As you play the rest, as we let and allow and remember, we have the opportunity to be awakened to our permanent identity with God in every cell of our body. Amen.
A Little Rhythms advertisement. When we were talking about, when Cheryl was talking about remembering, Rhythms is about remembering, putting together, remembering that we are made up of spirit and body, emotions and thoughts, that all of those go together. A lot of times in our lives in the world, we're taught to separate and just use one or the other, and Rhythms is the best place I've ever found to be able to put that all together. So we're going to do one right here, and then sing and make our way out to the field to do the rest. So I've got the spirit, you can stand up, got the spirit in my head, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. I've got the spirit in my head, and it's keeping me alive. Spirit is keeping me alive. I've got the spirit in my shoulders, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. I got the spirit in my shoulders, and it's keeping me alive. Spirit is keeping me alive. I got the spirit in my fingers, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. I got the spirit in my fingers, and it's keeping me alive. Spirit is keeping me alive. Got the spirit in my knees, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. I've got the spirit in my feet, and it's keeping me alive. Spirit is keeping me alive. I've got the spirit in my hips, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. I've got the spirit in my hips, and it's keeping me alive. Spirit is keeping me alive. I got the spirit in my feet, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. I got the spirit in my feet, and it's keeping me alive. Spirit is keeping me alive. take your feet out to the rhythms field.